Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's a blessing to be here, and let's continue in prayer, so let's continue to pray. Father, thank you very, very much for giving us life and giving us your Son, who is our life and our way and our truth. And we just want to keep our focus upon him because he is the future of all mankind. And so help us to understand what you want us to understand as we feast on your word this morning, and we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if there's any one thing the Apostle Paul mentions, and we're going to be going into 2 Thessalonians 2, and he wants to make sure that we stand firm and that we hold fast to what we have, but it's really easy for us to become deceived. Let's just read one scripture over here in Matthew before we go over there. Matthew 24, and it says in verse 24, "For false Christ and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect." It's talking about those who are in Christ. He's so sneaky, he can deceive the very elect. And we're going to see why and what to do and how to avoid that. "That if it were possible, I have told you ahead of time, so if anyone tells you, there he is out in the desert, do not go out, or here he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man." And so that's good to know and so important to realize. We cannot afford to assume we can't be deceived. I think those of us who have been a part of this church years ago know what we're talking about. And it's so easy to get caught up in things, especially when it's talking about prophetic information, because everybody wants to know what the future holds. And when somebody comes along and starts showing you, and this is what the Bible says, and then interpreting this and so forth, Paul says, look out. Be careful. Just let's read the scripture, but don't read into it things that God did not intend to be there. And it's called interpretation. But it's good to acknowledge that we're all naive at times. And it's so easy. I mean, I recognize that because when I've had some of this neuropathy and so on, I've bought more vitamins than Carter has liver pills. And they don't work. Everything's the same and so on. But it's the same with religion. A lot of times, things that you think are really important because it looks that way and so forth. Here's what the Apostle Paul, he's going to tell us here what to do to stay out of trouble so that you don't suck up to deceit. But many people have been fooled by people who wish to take advantage of us and to deceive us. And that's something that we need to be aware of so that we don't get caught up in those things. Now in Thessalonians, just a little bit of a background, those in Thessalonica, many of them were new Gentile believers. So he was just giving them a heads up, be careful, because many people are going to be trying to get you because you turn on your TV, you turn your radio on, and so on. And they all want you to come to their church and all the rest of that and so on. And so it's real easy to get caught up in things that you listen to. Like the Apostle Paul says, let's not go there. Don't go there. We'll see what that is in a few minutes. Here's what God tells us in 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. And it's a really important scripture. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8 says, "The devil, who is like a roaring lion, is out seeking whom he may devour." He's out to get us. And Satan is a lot smarter than we are. He's the most brilliant creation God made. He was the top of the archangels. And God deliberately put him in the Garden of Eden for a purpose, because he wants us to have to make a choice. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19 says, "I have set before you today life and death. Choose life." Now, what does he mean when he says choose life? Jesus answers that question when he came. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. What did he say? What does he want us to do? What does some other human being who is not in Scripture, what are they saying? They could be right, but they could be misleading you for ulterior motives and so on. So just Paul is warning them here because they were newbies in the church from Thessalonica, And he didn't want them to be deceived by the devil who prowls around like that roaring lion looking whom he can devour. Especially notice verse 9 here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Cover the whole thing, but it says here, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan. God is going to give Satan freedom to do certain things, but he has to get permission from God because God's in charge. He has access to God's throne because God says this is what you can do and this is what you can't do. And God has total control. Notice what it says. Displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles. Counterfeit miracles. Things that look like God is doing something in a certain way and so on. And then deceiving people. Signs and wonders and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are on the wrong track or perishing or they don't realize they're going down the wrong track. And so it's really important to see that what we're dealing with, and we know this up here, but when we get caught up in something, we need to be really careful because Satan is no dummy. He's very intelligent. And when we get our eyes on the wrong track, in fact, let's go ahead and just read this. Notice what it says in 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 5. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy. Because this is what more people are interested in. They want to know the inside scoop about what's going to happen. I remember when I was a teenager, all I could think about is, I want to know which cave I'm going to be in Petra. Really. I mean, that's what I was so programmed by prophetic situations and so on. And I got so caught up in that. And I couldn't wait to go and visit Petra to find out where all the caves were. So he goes on to say, don't get caught up in this or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until what? The rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He opposes and exalts himself over everything that is called of God or is worshipped, and even sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Isn't that scary to think about it? And so he is going to be faking it. But this is really important to see that Jesus Christ has not come. A lot of people want to say, well, he's already come because he lives in us and that's all there is to it. But they don't read the Bible. And you got to read the Bible to find out what the truth really is. And back in the days of Paul, many of those who were the Sadducees denied any resurrection. They said, there is no resurrection. And then Jesus was resurrected. All of a sudden, surprise! But that's why we need to be very careful not to listen to men. Let's listen to the Word of God. And that is the most important thing you can do because the Bible says, thy word is the truth. So it's very important to see. The point that he's bringing out here is to make sure that we don't get caught up in end time eschatological prophecies and the before you know it, that's all you talk about. He says, stay away from that because God says, no man knows the day nor the hour. And when he does come, like he says here, it's going to be like lightning out of the east and bang, every eye shall see him. And so it just happens to be that these end time things are very popular to a lot of dishonest teachers who love to concentrate on that area. So now let's continue on in verse 5 so we get the context. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you all these things? And now you know what is holding him back so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is at work. Satan is working overtime. You read Revelation chapter 12, it says, Satan has come down having great wrath, knowing that he has but a short time, and he's persecuting who? The woman. who brought forth the man-child, the body of Christ, the church that Mary represents. And he says, but the one who now holds it back, now who is the one that's holding it back from happening? The one that's holding it back is the angel, if you read in Revelation. The angel held it all back so that it didn't happen until God said, all right, angel, you can let things fly. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. Now, if you understand what's going to happen when Christ comes back, if you read in the book of Micah, it says the slain of the Lord is going to be from one end of the earth to the other. The indication is maybe because it says a tithe or a tenth are going to be remaining. But when you've lost that many people, it's going to be phenomenal. I mean, probably hydrogen, a nuclear weapon, we don't know. All we can do is just guess. The thing that we need to realize, Paul says, don't focus on that, because God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, and I'll take care of you, and so forth. Because if you get your eyes on the physical, you're going to be dead. But if you keep your eyes on the spiritual, you'll be alive in Christ, and he'll take care of us. And perish the thought, we die, but if that happens, the next moment you're rising in the air to meet Jesus, and it's worth its weight in gold. And going on in verse 10, and every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing, they perish because they refuse to love the truth. And what is the truth? The truth is a person. And Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But thy word is truth. Remember, thy word is Jesus, because he says, in the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. That sounds pretty sobering to think about that. But look what happened before the flood. All mankind but eight were destroyed. What does God say in the end time? As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. That's something to think about and just not worry about, because God has a plan, because all those people that are going to die are going to come up in the resurrection at the end of the 1,000 years. Verse 13. Now it gives us the instructions about what to do. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers. In other words, get your mind on relationship. The two things God commands us to do is to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and being, and one another, our neighbor as ourself, and God wants us to have that relationship, is what he's saying. This is what we need to focus on, to stand firm, and we'll see those words in here coming up. To always thank God for you. And I thank God all the time for you and for the honor and privilege it is to be together with you and the future that we have together, because we're becoming a part of the very bride of Christ, the body of Christ over whom he is the head. So thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because from the beginning, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, through belief in the truth, that we believe Jesus. I watched a video this morning that was quite fascinating about Islam and so forth. They have a phenomenal future that God has prepared for them as well, but they don't accept Jesus. That's not in the Quran. And it is sad, but Satan has deceived the whole world. And there's many in the church today that are deceived, because they think all you got to do is just be a good person and trust God and just realize that if you're a good person, you're going to go to heaven. That is not how it works. If you read Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it says, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But notice what it says as we conclude. He says, verse 14, he called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you. And so the whole bottom line is, stand firm in the faith. The faith is keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus, and don't allow yourself to get caught up in distractions, especially the distraction that keeps you out of the Word of God. And I strongly recommend to be reading God's Word every single day and ask God to open your eyes, your ears, your heart to understand exactly what He wants you to. I'm thankful on the way to Peru, I got to read all the minor prophets, which was fascinating, on the plane. And it was just spectacular. So don't underestimate what God's Word can do for you. So then, brothers, stand fast and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. In other words, this is the book we need to pay attention to, is the Bible, and not get caught up in distractions that keep you away from the Word of God. And he goes on to say, then may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God the Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and work. Because we're not here to do good deeds. That is what we do automatically. But our job is to be building a relationship with God. And then he will inspire us to do the good works and the good deeds that Jesus did when he walked this earth. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you very much that you've given us your Son. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And without him, we can do nothing, God. But with you, Father, and Jesus living in us and the Holy Spirit, there's nothing that we can't do. And we're going to be joined with you for eternity. What a gift that is. And it is astounding to think about being joined with Jesus as his body and he being our head forever and ever and ever. We look forward to being together with you, and we just ask you to help us to stay focused on your word. When we have distractions coming up, please put a big red flag in our way that says, get back in the word. And Father, we just thank you so much for loving us the way you do. In Jesus' name, amen.